You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All righty. 7:08 in the morning. Chris DeSimone, Matthew D. Neely Esquire, and our good friend, Dr. Joanne D. Filippo. Good morning, Joanne. I can hear you. You sound just fine. Can you hear you?
Oh, no, I can't.
Okay.
It's kind of, there's a little play in that button.
We usually put a little piece of rubber cement in there. It'll be fine. We'll fix it up.
Hey, Joanne, you want to open up a laundry service?
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up with that. This is interesting. Okay. First of all, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You had a very successful.
Yes.
Saturday night event.
All good.
I turned another year older.
Happy birthday.
You know what I decided? I figured this out. When you reach 50 years of age and older, between the years of the 1 through the 5, so 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, or 61, 62, all the way through, all you do is when you're within those age ranges,
right,
you flip the years. Okay, so instead of being 51, you're 15. Instead of being 52, you're 25. Okay, so
I like this. It's not a bad strategy.
Yeah, I thought it mentally. I think
did
it's
you do
good.
Something fun for your birthday?
Yes.
Usually,
yes,
you go spa yourself someplace. Did you do that?
Well, actually, I'd done that earlier in the week. So
okay,
yes, I did. Yes, I had dinner with some friends and cake and all that. It was excellent.
Persian room.
Excellent. No.
I know that's your place.
No, at my place. Yeah. It was great. They got me a tres leches cake. It was wonderful. Loved it.
Well, Matt Neely mentioned that you guys are going to start a laundry service together, so that's nice. And he's mentioning, of course, the New Republic piece that came out last week.
Yes.
It sounds like the guy who was running Casas Elitis was running some sort of his mom in a motto, which we can't tell whether or not they have laundry, big commercial laundry machinery in a motto.
If you were doing so Catholic Community Services is a subrecipient to Pima County.
Yes.
That subrecipient and all the contracts that they issue by federal law 2 CFR 200 at SEC must be monitored. So if you, and remember, this is one of the areas that was written up in the audit on the county.
Yeah, last year the state auditor came out and said, yeah, your subrecipient monitoring is somewhat lacking.
Like nil. Okay.
Or nil.
Yeah, like nil. Okay. Yeah. What I find really interesting, though, and remember, this is a beef that I've had with audits, for years and years. And it's not, Pima County is not the exception. When they do an audit, they give you a chance to respond to the management opinion.
Right.
Okay. And so you give a management opinion. And what it is they turn around and they will draft this letter up with, you know, let's say all the findings or material issues that they have, et cetera. And they give you a chance to respond. Okay. Now, I'm going to point out something in Pima County. If you go back, I don't know the exact years, but let's say that it was 2014 to 18. It was somewhere in there. And it was for 4 consecutive years. You can go on the county's website and pull the audits and you can see it, okay? And you'll see that for 4 consecutive years, there was the same issue in the audit that the IT, I believe it needed something additional as to security, et cetera,
yeah,
right? And every year the county would respond and say, okay, thank you, we're going to address this and we'll get this going. Year 2, the same issue arose in the audit from the state, the same response from the county. Year 3, the same issue. You get it? So it's for at least 4 years that I remember, the same issue was brought up by the state auditors and the same response showed up. Because I tracked this.
I
literally printed out the pages and I went, wait a minute, somewhere along the line, okay, somebody's got to be held accountable.
What department at the county is supposed to be doing the monitoring of the subrecipients?
Grants management. It used to be grants and contract. It's now grants management and innovation.
I love the word innovation. It's so non-innovative. Yeah. So that's Regina Kelly's ahead of that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, The one thing that's really interesting about, so they've already been audited and warned by the state that they suck at subrecipient monitoring, right?
Yes.
Is that a true statement?
Lacking, let's say.
Thank you. You said zero before. Now you're lacking. So anyway, okay, so they're lacking. So think about this. So Catholic Community Services is starting to get invoices from this laundry company. And the laundry company that sent it at that point didn't exist.
I read that.
So in the story, the company was created and registered with the Secretary of State's office after few to several invoices have already been sent and processed, or at least sent. Okay? So when you want to talk about a lack of monitoring, it's getting invoices. And remember, this is about $500,000 worth of revenue.
Well, and one of the things that you always do when you monitor is you look, there's probably about 20 documents, and it's listed in 2 CFR 200 that what you should examine.
Yep.
One would be, you know, if it's a nonprofit, let's say.
Right.
If it's assets, revenue, et cetera. If it's reporting less than $50,000, then, you know, you have to file a postcard every year. If it's under $50,000, you can do the postcard. If it's over, you have to do a 990.
Sure.
And that's how you can look up any nonprofit. So, you know, you've got that. You've got issues of,
but
you
remember,
know.
They retook billing in from a non. So the, one of the things, yes, should be, is the company real?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, remember, we have a contract for somebody who is a former employee who's running our database, our voter registration database, and when you check out the address, it's the person's home. Right. Am I correct? I believe somebody checked that out. So, yeah, and it's not to say you can't have, I guess if you were doing a laundry service, you probably should have a bunch of washing machines, or you're subbing out to a sub out.
Right. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's the here's the thing, though. I had to have this person from Rolling Stone / New Republic scooped everyone in the county.
Which I find really interesting. Okay.
Right.
Like, okay, think of it this way. New Republic, Rolling Stone, those are national publications, international for all
and
that
New
matters.
Republic, yeah, is a leftist. This is not even, yeah, like a gotcha from some right-wing thing.
If you
thing.
Take that article and you scroll down to the bottom of the article and you read the headlines of the articles.
I told everyone last week, if you're a Trump supporter, don't read the headlines from the New Republic. You'll be quite triggered.
So, I found that very insightful to look at this and say, wait a minute, how did this individual, this reporter, get this story? Somebody had to release some information.
Well, so
somebody's mad.
Of course, the Arizona Daily Star and the Sentinel will tell you should subscribe to us and give us money because we have these great connections and we get all the scoops on everything. And I got this person from where, I don't know where Gab's from, but out of nowhere comes and scoops all of them.
Yes. Yeah, so let me, okay, this is a great segue. So there was something on the agenda, and Steve Christie brought up the discussion on it. And remember that contract for AMI, who's basically, in a sense, like replacing Catholic Community Services?
Yeah, so they're moving, reducing Catholic Community Services to do something with women and children at the juvie probation over here on Ajo and Country Club.
Yeah.
Remember, we don't have any crime, so no one really needs juvie probation anymore in Tucson, so yeah, we'll be fine.
So Christie asked, he said, I met with former county administrator Huckleberry and asked him, how much are we charging? And I believe, AMI is a for-profit corporation. But Christie at the time asked Huckleberry, how much are we charging Catholic Community Services for rent, et cetera? Because remember, we've seen that contract come up on the agenda.
Right.
And there was no cost for rent. Okay. Utilities was unclear also. Well, Supervisor Christie said at the meeting, look, I came in and I met with Chuck and I asked him, how much are you charging? And Chuck said, there is no cost for rent nor utilities, whatever. Okay. But I just happened to look at that video last night. All right. So
This is what DeFilippo does for us. She's watching Huckleberry at 11 o'clock on a Sunday night.
It was Steve Grissi. It was actually the board meeting from August the 13th.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought this you were going, you were going deep in the archives.
No, I didn't. I didn't expect to see this or hear this, I should say. I was really looking for something else that I'm going to report on.
Actually, I need you to hold on because Matt says we're at 7:18. We need to go to break.
Okay. So this will be a good one.
This is a very good one. Joanne's also going to be talking about some stuff in the horse racing world before this is over.
Yes, we're going to do some clarifications on some things.
And you have a special meeting.
Two meetings. I attend one and the county attends the other.
Very special.
Yeah.
a special hour with Joanne DeFilippo.
Yes.
Wake up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right. 7:22 in the morning. We're hanging out with Dr. DeFilippo. Bill number two just wants to talk real quick about the laundry. Bill, you got a laundry strategy for us? What do you got for us?
Well, good morning, everybody. And Joanne, thanks for all you do. It was fun to see everybody on Saturday. Hey, I think what they have to do with these grants, they got to get more specific, okay? And the reason I say that is because I really do believe they were running a laundry service, okay? They just didn't get specific enough to say it was clothes. So they were laundering apparently $500,000, if that's what the right number was.
Yeah, just under
laundering money. Is that right?
Yeah, just under $500,000.
Yeah, so wouldn't that be considered a felony? I mean, it's a big enough number. It should be a felony, don't you think?
Well, there's the crime itself, you know, what type of a criminal offense. Second, it's like if it were to go to court, what would it be? Well, it's over $50,000. It's federal. You know, what is the intent? You know,
I think is easy to do, because if it's true that they did this grant and didn't even actually have a company, if that's true, that's fraud.
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this is handled in the future. Like, what role is the county going to play? What role is the Fed? You know, because this is federal money.
So in the end, right, so they get hit by the state. They respond to the state by saying, we're going to do this, this, and this, so you don't bother us anymore.
That's an audit. But right? If I recall correctly, this didn't come through in an audit.
I'm just saying, it's a practices thing.
It's a lot of different tentacles out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Billy.
There's a lot of money out there floating around that, the more money you got, the bigger the numbers are, the easier it is to kind of scrape a little off for yourself.
Of course. This is $500,000 compared to the over $100 million that's went to this debacle.
Yeah, no, it's just a mess. But when you mentioned that it was a laundry service, I started laughing.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. All right, guys, see you later.
Thank you. All right, AMI is...
I want to go back to this because Steve Christie brought this up.
Yeah.
Supervisor Steve Christie. And what he was saying, and again, I didn't even know this was on the agenda. I just made notes on it, okay? And he said, AMI is a for-profit company operating at the Drexel Road facility. Okay, we know that as the former Casa Elitas, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And he said, you know, this is a for-profit company. And he went through and he listed a number of companies that, you know, renting properties. And it fits in very much so with what I'm actually talking about with Pima County as it relates to the Pima County Rialto Racetrack. Okay.
Right.
We have rents. We have contracts. We have structures all over the place. We don't have a common because we do so many favors, let's say, to things. You'll see contracts, for example. I believe you can't find it on the county website anymore, but I do have a printed copy of it. It's a copy of the Pima County Fair Commission, not Fair Horse Racing, but Fair Commission. And they get the fairgrounds for $10 a year, and that was a 25-year contract. They do a capital improvement of anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000 a year, but they bring in a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. And you can see that through their
Who does
audits.
The money go to?
Them. The Fair Commission.
Gotcha.
Okay. I'm not criticizing that setup. All I'm saying is there's one there. Then we've got another museum. I believe it was one that came up recently. It has to do with aerospace, whatever. And their contract is for $45,000 a year. Plus, they get to subtract operations and maintenance. Okay. And then you've got Old Tucson that we put $4 million into it from COVID money in preparation for the new lessee. So we treat county properties very differently depending upon the county property.
Did you ever hear the deal at the Jugs House? You ever hear that?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Now.
So let's go back. We're going to leave that for
bad
now.
Chris.
Let's go back to the AMI. And this was interesting. I mean, I want to hand it to Jan. This is kudos. Either she had this answer prepared or she thought fast on her feet. Okay. I'm not sure which one it is at this point, but it's one of the best answers I've ever heard. So kudos to Jan. Supervisor Christie was asking about the fact of AMI, a for-profit corporation who's not being charged anything on rent or utilities at this facility.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's go back to the type of contract that there was for Catholic Community Services. We know that there used to be a renewal for that Casa Elitis at that location because that contract has come up multiple times. And there was never a rent specified in that contract for that building use, if you'll recall.
I remember.
There was never a mention of utilities. It was kind of like in this black hole. It's not that it was negated, it just wasn't addressed. Okay. Now we come to AMI, who's for profit. Remember, Catholic Community Services is basically nonprofit. AMI is for profit.
Uh-oh, fat cats.
So,
but they're liberal lefty fat cats.
So Supervisor Christie is asking, and I want to thank Supervisor Christie because had he not brought this up, I don't think this would have ever come out. And he said, why do we have a for-profit company in there who's not paying any rent? And that's how he was talking about his prior conversation with former county administrator Chuck Huckleberry.
Gotcha.
Jan's response is, we are not renting the building to them. They are providing a service within the building.
Oh, my Lord.
And she said, this is not an undue gift. And I sat back and I actually sure, started laughing as soon as I heard that.
Absolutely. It's that undue gift.
And I'm like going, that's quick thinking.
So okay. Remember, in Pima County, if you're a Josh Jacobson, Lucky Wishbone, Tucson crime-free member supporting Mike Jetty, you're bad for-profit fat cats. But if you're a fat cat that we're giving free rent to so you can make money off of the misery of the border crossers, you're a good fat cat.
I mean, this was, I got to give an award for this one because this is like a thinking beyond anything.
Remember, okay? the word of the year, especially with the Biden thing and now this sham called the Harris campaign, gaslighting is the word of the year. Everything is gaslighting.
Well, what we now want to do is we want to take this explanation that Jan gave and we want to take a look at that in the context of all of our county buildings.
All right, hold that thought. Tax levy, I want to talk real quick also when we come back. Wake up, Tucson, Joanne and Chris. All right, 7:34 in the moon. We're playing the Super Moon Monday because it's the big Super Moon out there playlist. Little Adrian Blue, Phone Call from the Moon. Hopefully we're going to be interviewing him soon. He's going to be, in the next, hopefully a couple of weeks. So we're working on that. We're hanging out with Dr. D. Filippo. Remember today, I just want to real quick on gaslighting. Here's the gas. You've been warned by Chris and Joanne. So today they're going to set the tax levy, right? The tax rate levy. And they're going to get a Bud Foster sympathizer or an ignorant 12-year-old that's a reporter. And they're going to tell them, right? Mark Evans will take the shovel and shovel feed them that the Board of Supes cares about the working poor and fixed income seniors, so they lowered the tax rate. That is what you will see tomorrow morning in the news.
Now, here's the thing. This is what I say.
And they're ignoring the fact that your taxes are most of your taxes are going up.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care, and I'm not addressing this specifically to the Board of Supervisors, to any politician. It doesn't matter. Okay. When you turn around and you say to your constituents, your public, let's say in the case of taxes like this, we didn't raise the taxes at all, but you know full well that the valuation is going to change. It's going to increase. So you know the impact that it's going to have with you at that tax rate that you're proposing. It's still going to have an impact of increased taxes. What happens is you're not being honest with the public. And that's the part that is, if politicians would recognize this, you would be much better off. Remember
but
when
they keep lying to these people and they keep getting reelected. That's the thing. They keep getting covered for by media.
Yes. And that's because they keep promoting half of the story.
Yep.
What, you know, the in this case, the supervisor is saying half of the story and the media is saying half of the story.
Yep.
And the public go to the polls and elect with half of the story. Then when the tax bill comes out, it's like, wait a minute, I thought you said the taxes didn't increase. And they're stuck with that for 4 years. But memory goes away. And you can be burned over and over. We've seen it. You're burned over and over and over every 4 years.
So be educated. The Board of Supes is getting the valuations from Suzanne, the assessor, at least 30 days in advance of setting the rate, correct?
Yes. And you know,
so he knew full well when Rex Scott tells you I lowered your tax rate and doesn't tell you the rest, and he'll blame it. He did this when I had him on film at the Oro Valley Library last year, right? And he'll say, well, we don't control the valuation. Well, that's true, but you knew it ahead of time.
And you know, I want to say this, Supervisor Steve Christie, he actually did the right thing. And this is what they should do. Instead of saying, oh, we didn't increase your taxes. No, what Supervisor Christie said was he called for a revenue neutral rate. And that's what you want.
Yep.
Revenue neutral, which means whatever overall what it means is that it's going to be neutral. We're not going to increase we're going to take into consideration, it's like I said, you take a look at a coin, both sides of it. You can't just say that, you know, oh, we didn't increase taxes. And then the flip side of that coin says, but we're going to increase the value. And you as a supervisor say, but we don't have anything to do with the value. No, Supervisor Christie is looking at this correctly. He's saying, okay, I realize that we set the rate for one half of the coin, but I want to take a look at this as it relates to both sides of the coin.
Sure.
Because I don't want to hurt the constituents. I want them to be, and that's the responsible way of handling taxes.
The other thing they're going to gaslight you on, and then we'll get to our next thing, is they're going to tell you, well, we reduce the budget, right?
You didn't reduce the budget. Your federal money's going away.
Correct.
Because you have to remember, when you set your budgets, you set a cap limit. And everything that is within that cap limit is set at the budget. So what you do is you also have to project how much money are you going to be bringing in from external sources, including federal and state money. Well, when that federal money, how much did we get in federal money?
For which thing? For
the COVID over the, okay. We got $303 million.
I was going to say 100.
Okay.
Cents.
Now all of that is going away. Right. Of course you're going to have a decrease in your budget.
But they're
going to
make it sound like they made some hard cuts.
Yes.
That's what they're going to say.
And that is not the case. That is not the case. And again, it's that when you're going to, if you decide to go into politics, I would rather vote for someone who tells me both sides of the coin, good, bad, right, wrong, whatever
sure.
it is, versus someone who gives me a misleading theory, a misleading analysis, and says, we're going to do this. But if I flip that coin over and I see the opposite effect of it, I'm going to think less of that politician. Quite frankly, that politician does not deserve my vote.
Remember, District 1 voters, Rex Scott voted 3 years in a row to raise your taxes. Don't forget that. He's going to tell you he didn't. He did. He is crushing the fixed income senior in District 1 3 years in a row.
So when you attend these meetings, and again, I don't care what politician it is. I don't care what party it is. One of the things you want to ask is, okay, that's the top side of the coin. Tell me the bottom side of the coin. And if they say to you, well, we don't have any control over that, your response to that should be baloney.
Yep.
You do, because you can contextualize both. Remember, a coin doesn't have just one side. It has both sides. And Supervisor Christie has the correct perspective
yep.
in calling for a neutral value.
So far, he's the only one who seems to care about anyone on a fixed income who's just struggling right now with high inflation.
You think it might be because he's owned businesses?
Absolutely.
You think it might be because he understands
P&L? I love that the guy that they would consider a fat cat is the only one who actually cares about the regular person in Pima County.
Yeah. You know, when you've got to put your head on the pillow at night and you've got to meet a payroll the next day,
yep.
You know what P&Ls, you know what financial statements are, you know all of that. Okay. When you are in the public sector all your life, pretty much, whether it's working for a school district, local boards, whatever it is, you are not directly responsible for meeting those payroll needs. That just comes, the money's automatically there.
Yep.
Okay. You just allocate it out. That's a huge difference. Huge.
All right. Hold that thought, Matt. We're going to go to break early because I want to give Joanne enough. She's going to get into a horse racing thing for her segment. So I want to give her a little room to
horse racing and housing.
Wow.
Yeah. Which they're related, believe it or not.
Wow.
I'm going to show you the correlation.
We deal with a lot of horse crap on this show. But I want to give a big props to my boy Smooch. He raised $250.38.
He was so cute.
In kisses on Saturday night.
Oh, is that what it was from?
It was $250 from him being there giving smooches.
Who gave him 38 cents? Well, they all gave him 38 cents, but you know.
Oh, my Lord.
That was absolutely adorable.
All right. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Brother Joe in the third hour. There we go.
I used to sing this in California.
Ah!
Yeah, how do you like that?
We always learn some nugget about her. So let me ask you real quick. I want to get the horses, but where were you singing the Blue Moon of Kentucky in Southern California?
Have you ever heard of the Palomino Club?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Okay.
It's no longer there, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I sang at the Palomino Club. And
Lancashire
then also,
in North Hollywood.
Yeah. wasn't it? I can't remember, but like around Ventura Boulevard? To the north of it.
Cross Street, yikes.
Yeah. And then also there was a club that I used to sing at in Gardenia? Garden Grove?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Did you have a stage name?
I sang with a couple bands.
Okay.
One was a group called Lorelei.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I love it.
I used to sing in Mexico also. Mexico City.
See, I'm telling you, man, I'm learning.
I'm a musician from long time. I'm actually symphonic. I play classical flute.
See? Yes. Look at that.
I never had a gym class in my life. I was always in music, band.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, the idea of now you singing Blue Moon of Kentucky in SoCal in the early 80s. Is amazing.
If you never went to the Palomino.
No.
Oh, just a great, great club. Great club. Yeah.
Let's get the horses before we run out of time.
All right. So what I want to talk about here, this is interesting. On the agenda for today's meeting, of which I didn't know about until I took a look at this.
Yeah, the meeting's today, 1 week after the meeting last week. I mean, 6 days
later,
actually.
Okay, so we had a Pima County Fair Horse Race Commission meeting last week, and I walk in the room, and there's Pima County Attorney Sam Brown. So you know something's up attending a meeting, right?
I know the feeling of what you're going through.
Yeah, whatever. And you know, there's all this hullabaloo about, you know, a tainted bid contract. People are all upset. Well, here's in a nutshell, there's a couple things going on. One, when you pull out the dirty laundry list of things that should have been addressed and were never addressed, and you start pointing them out, and you've given the county multiple years to get this corrected, to address this, and it's not done. And basically it stems from this. For many years, Rito property was strictly a racetrack. Okay, because land was given to the county for a race. Just like, as I've said before, Santa Cruz County, Cochise County, those tracks were donated. And then in those counties, it was actually given to a nonprofit to run. The county themselves got out of the business of horse racing. But each one of them has a nonprofit. They also run, as almost all counties do in the state of Arizona, their horse racing and their fair, because they're all at the same facility, their fairgrounds. Okay. Pima County isn't that way. We have the Pima County Fair Grounds, and then you have Pima County Fair Horse Racing. Two completely separate commissions, two completely separate nonprofits, two completely separate facilities, two completely separate treatment of contracts. Okay.
That's true.
And that's why I go through and I say, well, the Fair Commission has a contract, $10 a year for 25 years, and they do capital improvements. They bring in a lot of money, too. And if you ever want, you can go in and do a public records request because they have to turn in their audits, and they're fine. You know what I mean? I don't have a gripe with the Fair Commission, other than the fact, and I want to point this out, when Supervisor Miller wanted to appoint her representative to the Fair Commission, she was not allowed to do that. Okay, and that brought up...
Who was that?
That brought up an issue for me, because I was new to all of this, and I didn't understand what was all going on. So I started researching it, and I discovered that the Pima County Fair Commission was a commission that met only once a year. You can look on the county website. It states this. This is all supported. But what they did have was they had a nonprofit whereby once you were appointed to the Pima County Fair Commission, the government county commission, you were automatically appointed to the nonprofit. So I started to see what was going on there. And you can see, and actually, it's probably so well documented, I believe Chair Grijalva wanted to appoint someone to the Fair Commission, and there's a letter, memo, from the Fair Commission to the Board of Supervisors, I believe, and it might be on the January 19th, 2021 meeting. And it's explaining why the supervisors are not allowed to appoint to the Fair Commission. Because remember, once you're on the Fair Commission, you'd automatically be appointed to the nonprofit. The nonprofit runs, they meet, they do everything, okay? And so you got to take a look at that structure, and it's like, well, wait a minute. Why are the supervisors prohibited from putting someone from their office, from their district, on the Fair Commission? That was only reasonable. When Allie Miller asked about it, that was reasonable. When Chair Grijalva asked about it, it was reasonable. But what happened is, you got to go back and read that letter. And I don't want to get into it, but basically what the Fair Commission nonprofit is saying, look, we run our own organization, and nobody should be... we run our own organization. I'm going to leave it at that, okay? And we'll, I think at the next week, we'll bring up that letter because I want to make sure that
okay.
I state
Let's
it correctly.
Let's get to your horse racing because you right. got about 6 minutes.
So what we have here is now we have Pima County Fair Horse Racing. When I get in there, I discovered that there's also a government commission and a nonprofit. But in the case of horse racing, they're named the exact same thing, Pima County Fair Horse Racing Commission. And it took me, there are no minutes and there's no agendas, nothing from the county.
That's what the situation needed was more confusion.
Right. So it took me weeks, if not months, to try and figure out what the heck's going on here. Got them, and I went to Sam Brown, which, thank you, Sam, county attorney, and said, hey, look, we got a county government commission. We got a nonprofit. They're called the same thing. But unlike the Pima County Fair Commission, and mind you, the Pima County Fair Horse Racing Commission, those commissioners did not know that as soon as they got appointed to a commission, they automatically served on a board.
Is that a good dynamic for the taxpayer?
What?
That we have a government commission and then there's a separation of a nonprofit. Well,
there's a reason why you have the nonprofit, okay? Because the government commission cannot accept funding. You know, there are certain restrictions. So it's just like universities. You have a university and you have a university
foundation.
So in the
end, they should just rent these things out and move on with our lives, right? Instead
well,
of just horse
you know
crap.
What they really should...
Back to horse
okay.
crap.
Leave my horses alone. What they probably should do, in all honesty, is you're either going to run it exactly like you do the Fair Commission... Exactly, but they don't do it that way, okay? Or you turn around and you put it into the private sector and you do, like we did, now mind you, Pima County Fair Race Commission, County Commission, Pima County Fair Race Commission, Foundation, 501c3, okay? So I got the two separated, okay? Bifurcated. They each have their own set of bylaws, and what it says in the foundation bylaws, if it's up to the foundation, if you are a commissioner, you can serve on the foundation if it's so deemed, but it's not automatic like the Fair Commission.
Gotcha.
And one of the things that we're looking at right now in the foundation is to further separate that so that you don't have that close connect. And we are actually actively recruiting to sit on the Pima County Fair Foundation nonprofit.
So now that we're, you know, we're 10 days away from Labor Day.
Yes.
Rito Racing for this winter's dead, right?
It'd be for 2025. Well, we're having a meeting with Jan.
You mean 2026?
No, 2025.
Like literally 6 months from now.
Yeah, like the contract usually runs from January 1 of that year to June 30th.
So there might be possible racing this upcoming February.
Well, here's what the problem is. When they put out an RFP, which is just like what they just did, it states in there that the operator is responsible for all operations, maintenance, etc. That cannot be.
Yeah.
The county has not taken care of that property, and they keep putting the onus onto the contract operator. You will drive yourself into bankruptcy. Why? Because the plumbing on that county-owned property is so bad. Do you know that it costs, in a given period, at least $90,000 to go in and rent porta potties because there's no bathroom for the horsemen on the backside, but they did put in bathrooms over for the soccer use. That's one of the things.
Right.
The plumbing is so bad that they have to keep calling in Roto-Rooter to clear the pipes after you know, a racing weekend. You've got electricity. It's breaking constantly. There's not enough amperage. And this is nothing against people at the park, but it's one of the things that happens when you have multi-use. You don't have an operator running it for the whole year like the horsemen. We have a rail system going around the racetrack.
Right.
That system is about $200,000. We have people hanging on the cyclone fence and jumping on the rails because they're buoyant. It's kind of like they use it like a trampoline.
Right.
Well, it breaks, and you got to get new rails, and you got to have that as part of your compliance for safety and et cetera to do with horse racing.
So that's the thing is, right, so I've been out in the middle for soccer, right? New buildings, new plumbing, whatever.
New electricity.
Then they have the farmer's market area, which is new buildings.
New stands, new structure, new
bathrooms. So they have new bathrooms over there. They're not porta-pottying the farmer's market, are they?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Then you have this thing in the middle with this bizarre thing.
And you have an all-new done parking lot.
Right.
So when they say, well, we put money into Rito. No, you redid the parking lot. Okay? That's utilized by everyone in that park. The farmer's market, all the soccer, etc. It's not just for the horsemen. So don't say that you put improvements in for the horsemen. Okay? And that's what I'm getting at is this. There is no contract operator who should ever be willing to sign that contract unless you can come to some type of a capital improvement program whereby the county takes its obligation as the landlord. You got ADA compliance.
Quick question for you. So we know that the Jelks property, if they make any sort of improvement, it comes off your rent. Did the previous holder of the Rito get the same thing where if they made an improvement to the track, the county was knocking it off their bill?
No, it was done differently too. Remember, Chuck had that contract written very differently. They got $1 million grant. He had that written as revenue into the contract. But the problem is the grantor pulled the grant away. Okay, there was still $600,000 left to pay on the grant from the grantor to the grantee.
Who was the grantor?
A really good guy. Really good guy.
Gotcha. All right. Well, good job as always. Appreciate all your hard work.
More to come on this. Okay.
You got it. All right. You're that's the great Dr. Joanne DeFilippo. We'll see her in 7 days. And again, the gaslighting on your taxes is going to come hard tomorrow. Watch it. Wake up
today.